Hello and welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. What started as a live broadcast of a person's life became one of the most viewed digital sites ever. Twitch is a video platform that blossomed out of Justin TV. That was a 24-hour stream of Justin Kahn doing everything, including sleeping and eating. And when that shelf life ran out, Justin co-founded Twitch. And since then, Twitch has added 2.1 billion broadcasters to its platform, and esports is a large part, but not total portion, of Twitch's 100 million-plus active monthly users. And let's go ahead and dispel the entire question of, why do people watch other people play video games?
But that's like saying to a chef, why are you watching the Food Network? Shouldn't you be in the kitchen cooking? Or to an athlete, why are you watching ESPN? Shouldn't you out being shooting hoops? No, people enjoy just watching others.
More than gaming, it's... well, it's whatever you can stream. It's social, it's emoticulture.
Give them access to special emotes, and emoticon culture is a whole other topic that's a very big part of our platform. It's our native language, are these unique emojis that are exclusive to Twitch and have become the way people communicate.
And Twitch is big business, big enough for Amazon to step in and buy it for about $1 billion. So what's new at Twitch and what's coming up? Here's my interview with a Twitch executive. We start with origin story and then land on Twitch's efforts to quell online bullying. This is part one of a two-part chat.
My name is Chase. I just go by Chase, not to be pretentious, but I used to be a DJ back in the day, just like yourself. And it was DJ Chase, and the DJ fell away, and people just started calling me Chase, and it's been that way for about 25 years. And I am the public relations director at Twitch.
Right on. And yes, I'm DJ RJ talking to DJ Chase. We're going to talk about Twitch, esports, other things that Twitch does very well as well. Let's get into just basic origin story. Tell me about Twitch, then we'll talk about where Twitch is going after it was acquired.
Sure. So first, what is Twitch? Twitch is a social video platform for gamers and creative artists. And when we talk about social video, what I mean is that when you go to the website Twitch, it's the broadcaster is talking to the viewers, and the viewers are able to interact with the broadcaster through the chat that goes down the side of the screen. So they're talking to the broadcaster. They're chatting with other people as well, other viewers. And that's why it's social video. It's highly interactive. It's not a static viewing experience.
Right.
And now the backstory of Twitch is that in 2007, local gentleman Justin Kahn and some other founders came up with the idea of Justin TV, which was filming Justin's life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And when they launched, it really took off. It ushered in the trend called life casting. He was on morning shows. It was a big hit.
Right.
But over time, the novelty began to wear off, because when you broadcast your life 24 hours a day, there's a lot of downtime spent eating and sleeping. And people watching wanted to broadcast their own lives as well. So what they did was they opened up the platform to anyone and provided tools to the viewers. And so as a result, Justin TV became a general purpose live streaming site where you had weddings, cat cams, sporting events, you name it. One thing the founders didn't expect was the fast organic growth of video game content. So some of the founders set some thresholds. They said if we met these thresholds, we'd spin off into its own product. They smashed every milestone, and 2011, Twitch launched. So that's sort of the backstory of how it came to be.
It's a very dynamic platform. When you speak with some people, they're still confounded by the fact that people want to watch other people play video games. But it's an immersive experience, and it's actually a massive time suck if you're not careful, too, because you get so involved, it just the minutes and hours just fly by.
Yeah, there's several reasons why people watch. First, let's talk about games specifically. People have always enjoyed watching other people play games. When home consoles first arrived, usually had just one or maybe two controllers, and most of your friends and family would spend more time watching than playing. This was even more pronounced in the arcades, where you'd have 15 people watching one person play Donkey Kong or Pac-Man. It wasn't until the ubiquity of broadband that enabled Twitch to exist and tap into this part of our DNA that's always been there.
Right.
However, it's much more simpler than that. People enjoy watching others who are good at what they do or are engaging at what they do when it involves a shared interest. For example, somebody would say, why would somebody watch somebody play a video game? Wouldn't they rather play it? But that's like saying to a chef, why are you watching the Food Network? Shouldn't you be in the kitchen cooking? Or to an athlete, why are you watching ESPN? Shouldn't you out being shooting hoops? No, people enjoy just watching others. This is, for some reason, people have a hard time wrapping their head around why video games would be anything different than, you know, people watch talk shows with just people talking. So, I mean, this phenomenon is really not that strange. But for some reason with games, people have a harder time digesting it, yet they'll watch every other type of content that's on the screen.
Chase, I want to dive in a little bit deeper on esports, and then we'll get into your broader audience base, okay? But with esports, it seems like maybe awareness around esports is becoming more mainstream these days, but it's still an exponential kind of a growth area. Are you seeing that on Twitch as well as a platform?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, so just for some context, esports is the competitive gaming side of the industry. Not all gaming is esports, but all esports is a form of gaming.
Right.
And it's something that's been growing year over year, and Twitch has been a big part of that growth, because prior to Twitch, esports was very localized and fragmented all around the world. But because we're a global platform, we put this spotlight on it that really helped attract and unify a lot of the disparate communities all around the world. And we're continue to be the epicenter of everything that's happening, like all the top teams, leagues, events, and talk shows. That's all happening on Twitch. And when we talk about the growth of the sport,
if I go back to what you mentioned earlier about Justin TV,
yes,
and about how the exponential growth kind of came organically, what other areas are you seeing on Twitch as a platform right now that are growing?
Well, I mean, the different types of content you'll see is every major video game publisher and developer has a Twitch channel. This is like PlayStation, Microsoft, Nintendo, Blizzard, Valve, Riot. And the reason why they've migrated to our platform is because we're influencing purchasing decisions. And what I mean by that is when people used to buy video games, they might watch a 2-minute trailer of the game, which often had doctored footage that was taken from in-game video, but not actually playable content.
Right.
Now, if somebody wants to buy a game, they can go to Twitch, watch an hour, watch 5 hours of actual gameplay, talk to the viewer, should I buy, should I rent, should I pass? And that's really what people are using. And we've actually have data that illustrates that this is indeed what they're doing. So it's not just anecdotal. We have actual data that shows people are watching Twitch and then going and buying the games.
Real-time, dynamic user reviews.
Right. Yeah, and the other type of content you'll find on Twitch is all the major video game conventions are on Twitch. And this is important because there's so many barriers to entry. Like if you look at E3, which is the big event down in Los Angeles, it's industry only. If you look at PAX West, which is a big open-to-the-public event, they have a couple different PAX events around the U.S., sells out in minutes. And then around the world, you've got PAX Australia, you've got Gamescom in Germany, Tokyo Game Show, Taipei Game Show, BGS in Mexico. All around the world, you have these international events. And what Twitch does is it doesn't matter if you're not industry, it doesn't matter if it's sold out, it doesn't matter if you can't afford travel. We remove all those barriers and put these events in the living room of our viewers. And the type of content is usually, you know, if they're doing press conferences, announcing new products, showcasing games, all that stuff is, or having panels, all that type of content is available on Twitch.
Well, let's go behind the curtain a little bit for Twitch with the business side of it. How do you identify, acquire, maintain your expert? And what's the incentive there for them?
Yeah, so the way Twitch is broken out is every month we have 2 million unique broadcasters on our platform. Of those 2 million, we have 17,000 partner channels. The partner channels are the cream of the crop and the ones who are actually able to monetize their channel. And they're able to do this through a number of ways, through ads that run on their streams. Uh-huh. They can offer subscriptions to their viewers. And while every channel is free to watch with subscriptions, they can offer special perks like ad-free viewing, give them access to special emotes. And emoticon culture is a whole other topic that's a very big part of our platform. It's our native language, are these unique emojis that are exclusive to Twitch and have become the way people communicate.
What are some examples of those?
Probably the most popular one is one called Kappa, K-A-P-P-A. And when you type Kappa in chat, this guy's face pops up, and he's known as Kappa. And people use it when they're being sort of snarky or sarcastic, or like, hey, just kidding, Kappa.
Right?
Yeah.
You mean video gamers can be snarky?
Yes.
And you're enabling that at Twitch?
There you go. And one thing about Twitch is, though, that we also provide our broadcasters with a whole slew of moderation tools so that way they can cultivate the kind of community they want and help keep bad actors out of their chat.
I see.
You can ban links. You can ban certain words. You can ban individuals. You can assign somebody to moderate your chat so they're basically policing it for you.
Right.
On top of that, below every screen is a report button, and we have a 24/7 support staff. So if somebody's doing something against our very robust terms of service and rules of conduct, we'll have a support staff look into it. We've also created some documents in our help center about how to deal with harassment. And we've also been very proactive in public events. Like we recently did our TwitchCon, which is the annual Twitch event. Mm-hmm. And we had a whole area called Inclusivity City focused on getting more people involved in inclusivity awareness. And we had panels devoted to harassment, to people of color, to all different types of things that would help cultivate a more inclusive platform.
That's Chase. He's a one-word named PR executive for Twitch. We'll have more with Twitch and Chase and its newest offerings for its millions of viewers next. First, let's give you some show data. You can get podcast segments of all our Techonomics shows at kgoradio.com/Techonomics. We also do the FB. Our show page is facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. And we drop a weekly playlist of the music we use on the show at that same URL, facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. Maybe give us a like or, you know, a share. Coming up after the break, more with Twitch and then a weekly wrap of some tech headlines. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please come on back.